I didn't mention them in my opening remarks that Brother Tim was out yesterday. They replaced an entire air conditioning HVAC system in here so after last Sunday, and so it'll be nice and cool this summer, just in the nick of time. Also, I guess maybe I noticed some of these kind of things more than normal people, but Brother Gerald has cut down all those crepe myrtle trees back on that other side of the parking lot, wherever I'm pointing to, by the dumpster. I don't know if a disease got hold of them or what. They were trying to push leaves out, but just weren't making it. One of them, I think, had died. So he's cut all that down himself, as far as I know, and slowly put it in the dumpster and all to have it hauled away. So appreciate that. And I know that none of us take for granted Brother Gerald's work in the yard.
Right.
And he comes. Every now and then he'll have some help, I think, some of his kids, grandkids. It looks beautiful, and I'm thankful for that. And the work that everyone does. There's work that gets done. We don't really notice. It's done. And all supplies are replenished and so forth. And I'm grateful for that as a pastor. I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 28, a verse or two in the latter, toward the end of that chapter. This morning, I jokingly told Ronnie and my brother Mark that said I think I'm gonna preach on depravity today, and Ronnie warned me not to use him as an example. But then it's funny. Then this morning got to church and I told Brother Wayne the same thing. It's interesting the ones that I told that. But anyway, we'll move on. But I'm not, and I'm thinking, of course, of everything as it's on our mind out in the world. But in saying that, I could go on and on when I'm standing down there in the thoughts and the things going on and secular things and all, but we're all aware of those. What I feel like I want to preach on today is truly foundation. It's our righteousness. And really, it's sanctification, holiness, and sainthood. All of those coming from the same root Greek word. So, and yet in all of that, we are made righteous. We are. So, and I know in the last month, since we've been meeting back here at our church house, I tried to preach on our sanctification, personal sanctification here, ethical holiness. I mentioned that the first time I was really thinking about that, and that is to sanctify ourselves, we being sanctified. We being holy and righteous and saints, then we then sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart from the world. Because if we are, and we are different, children of God are different and set apart from the world. And we should be, and that should be evident. And then I tried to preach on specifically David encouraging himself in the Lord his God, and we encourage us encouraging ourselves in the Lord our God to encourage ourselves, so that we, because we, if we're discouraged and have no courage and we're weak, how are we going to sanctify ourselves? And we can't. We need to be encouraged, and we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. I tried to preach on committing our ways, committing our spirits unto God. Commit your ways, and I showed examples of that. And in that, we're encouraged. And so now I want to go and try to talk about something that's so basic but so foundational, and that's sanctification. The sanctification that God Almighty, what He has given us, that He's done to us. And we'll see, and we have specific verses that tell us when it was done, how it was done, and what it's done for us. And I'm thankful for that. And so being sanctified and being sanctification, being sanctified is to be set apart, but it's to be made holy, to purify and to cleanse. And we are. So if nothing, if you stop listening, if you haven't already, if you stop listening right now, then take this one thing home, that right now you are already saints. You have been made holy. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ within you. Instead of dwelling on something negative and dwelling upon where we were before, which is depraved and sinful, and I know we still commit sin. We have that sinfulness in us, but we have, I want to tell you that you have right. You are righteous right now. You don't have to be dead for 120 years to become a saint. You're a saint right now, believe it or not. Be careful who I look at. But you are righteous right now, and that gives you strength. That makes me want to cling to God's mercy when He bestows it upon me, when I fail Him in my life here, because then I remember I'm sanctified. I have the righteousness. I have Jesus Christ dwelling within me. That is strengthening in itself. That keeps us on track. And yet, I'll get off track. I will. I know that. But I cannot wait for the day when He calls my name and this body is raised. And then in totality, in total, I will, in completeness, I will know and feel everything in perfection that I only feel in part right now. I'm thankful for having the earnest of my inheritance. Selfishly, I want it all. I want everything that Jesus Christ suffered and bought for me. And yet He's given it to us already. So we're saints. Again, saint and holy and sanctify all come from the same word, a root word. In many places, but in Ephesians, Apostle Paul starts out there. He addresses them, the saints who are at Ephesus. They're already saints. They're saints now. You are saints at Fort Worth and wherever all we may come from and live. So I'd like to talk about that today, by righteousness, because I can certainly get bogged down in my unworthiness. We've been made worthy by Jesus Christ. And so God sees us that way. I'm so thankful that He does. And yet I still, even knowing that, though, we need to strive to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord, in our lives, and do as we have done. Our strength may ebb and flow, but to me, sometimes I've thought that in meditating upon some of these things that knowing what we believe in the church, the Primitive Baptist faith, that I really, and maybe this, I don't know if I'll word this right, but I give Primitive Baptist a little bit more credit in adhering and living good lives, because we all know that we're going to be in heaven no matter what we do. And as people would say, well, then I just live however I want and all. But we are. But there's blessings in it. I see the rest and peace and comfort in living a good life because I am eternally sanctified. We could stray easily knowing that we will be in heaven, but we don't, because we have that unction within us. So here in this, I'm just going to hit this real quick in the 28th chapter of Exodus, but in the They are around the 39th verse down there. They are addressing Aaron and his sons. Aaron's, they're making the coats. They're putting on the priestly garments here in the service here. But here in the, and so in the 41st verse, it says, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him. All that's described up above there. And that's a beautiful subject in itself, the garments of the priest and the high priest. And his sons with him. And shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So these things are going to be done to them so that they may minister unto God in the priest's office. Now, we've been made kings and priests unto God. Which points to the work of Jesus Christ here, the sanctification and consecration. And that word consecrate, it embodies the picture of holy, not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, fully, complete there. We are sanctified, made holy, pure, and cleansed. And they are putting these priestly garments on here, signifying and pointing to our garments of salvation, our salvation in itself, our sanctification. And they're anointed and covered. And in fact, anoint, really, when it gets down to it, means to apply or to smear on something, an ointment, an unction, I don't know if I can pronounce it. Unguent is what it is. Here it was oil. They anointed them with oil here, but it covered them. We're anointed with a greater unguent and blood of Jesus Christ and applied through the Spirit of God. I want to start there, and now I'm going to jump to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, and it's about the 10th verse. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So he's speaking in the past tense here. And in fact, we have already been clothed with the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. And I could cover, I think I have touched on it, how Jesus Christ, our sinfulness was charged to the account of Jesus Christ. He took upon himself our sins, and his righteousness was given to us, charged to us. That's in our account right now, his righteousness. So that's what this robe of righteousness that is placed upon us, and the garments of salvation. This is why Isaiah wrote this. Now let me get over to the New Testament. It's 1 John, the second chapter. Touching on the anointing for a moment. They anointed Aaron and his sons, the priests, the Levites. But in the 27th verse of this second chapter of 1 John, it says, 26th verse says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Certainly applicable today. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointed teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So the anointing that which ye have received, it's of God. This is the when this is speaking of, and sanctification vitally in our lives takes place in regeneration. Whenever you were born again, you were purified, you were cleansed, you were washed. In fact, we can go and read in Titus the washing of regeneration. We're born again. That's when in your life you were sanctified, you were made holy, you became a saint, set apart. That's when that took place. If you jump up to the 20th verse, it says, but ye have an unction, same word as the anointing down there in the 27th verse, unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. The 29th verse, I know I'm jumping around a bit, but let me get these points. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So we see that righteous, and if they do righteousness, they are righteous. They have been made pure and cleansed by the blood of Christ. So it took place at the cross, and I'll get to that in a moment. I think I might have mentioned this last or Sunday before last, that legally it took place on the cross. And this is sanctification in several ways is a lot like, generally, like the subject of justification. There's more than one. Brother David's nodding his head. This is you just can't say here. There's one justification, and it's all eternal. And there is a justification here. There's justification by the blood of Christ. Justification by faith. But justification by works. So it's a huge, massive subject. Sanctification. I told you a few Sundays back that you needed to sanctify yourselves, and you do. We do. But we wouldn't, if we weren't righteous, we didn't have this righteousness of Christ in us, making us our soul and spirit righteous, then we would not do that. And so this is evidence of that, that everyone who that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, let's see who does this. If I can get out of 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm just going to jump right to it. The 21st verse of that first chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. It's God who does that. So, we're anointed by him, and that and again, the word unction is synonymous, comes from this. It is the same Greek word as anointing here. But when we are regenerated, we are anointed, we're covered, and we're washed. We are immersed by the Holy Ghost, and therein lies consecration in completeness and fullness. That's it. Sanctification, many would say, it's a process. It's not. It's instantaneous. It happens, and that's it. Now. And our personal sanctification, our ethical holiness, that where we have control over that, you could say that's continuous. It's repeated in our lives. We do that. We continually have to set ourselves apart. I think of when I'm scrolling through things on computer or phone or whatever. Yeah, there's so many things that you have to just scroll past. Just get past it. It's right there. You don't have to go out somewhere and find this stuff. And so we set ourselves apart and draw upon the strength and righteousness of Jesus Christ, which abides within us, to give us that strength. and then there's peace again. Remember that quote from the preacher that I read this war being the fight of our lives. It is, and it's tough. It's hard. We're given peace. It will, if we don't fight that battle, we will have our joy and peace robbed from us. Are we still sanctified eternally? Yeah, we're still holy. There's part of us that is, but it's that part that's not. That sinfulness that still plagues us, that's not. There is the warfare. But God sees us sanctifying ourselves separating ourselves, being a peculiar people, different, set apart, sees that. And that, to God, is a sweet-smelling savor. That's an aroma to Him that is well-pleasing to God Almighty. And as I always wanted to please my natural father, I want to please my heavenly Father. God Almighty, I do. And that's the righteousness within us. That's what that feeling that you have when you have the desire to do that. But it is God who anointed us. In Hebrews 13th chapter, Hebrews chapter 13, the 12th verse says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." So He suffered outside of the city. I love simple, concise bullet points. Things you can have. Okay, there's that right there. That scripture right there proves it, says plainly. King James translation is not difficult to read or understand. God must reveal it and bless us when we study it. But here, Jesus, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. So here's the one sanctifying us. Here's the medium, which is His blood. He shed His blood of salvation on the cross in His crucifixion. He suffered without the gate. That's where He was hung on the tree of the cross, so that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. I wasn't in existence then. I didn't exist. I'm not an eternal child going back. I am eternal now. It's not, we don't go into the next life. I understand what that means. We continue the life you already have right now. There's no ending to it. Your soul and spirit will continue that eternal life in heaven and then one day be joined together again with our bodies being changed. Legally then, on the cross though, I died in Christ Jesus there. He was my figurehead, the Godhead right there on the cross, and I was in Him. He represented me. He was the first fruits of them that slept. Sanctify the people with His own blood. Now in 1 Peter, the first chapter, just a couple of pages over from where I am there, here, and this could be confusing, but it's not. He in his salutation, Peter says in the second verse, he's speaking to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So the sanctification is through the Spirit. The sprinkling of the blood, the Spirit of God applies that, and Primitive Baptist preachers always were the Spirit in regeneration and being born again applies the blood of Christ to your soul and spirit. That's when that legal work is made effectual in you. It's given to you vitally in your life at whatever time that is. That's the point that you're sanctified. You're made pure and holy. Jesus Christ will not dwell in sin. He will not abide, take up an abode in sinfulness. And so you're made pure and washed clean so that Jesus Christ then dwell and abide within you. Then you have the unction to serve Him as we should. And to be set apart and to set yourself apart in this life because you're now sanctified, you're made holy. That's we just kind of wash over some of this stuff sometimes. I believe ministers that this sanctification that and that the timing of it, that even right now you're righteous and you have the righteousness of Christ within you. That's a very powerful thing. That's how when you do pray for somebody, as Brother Jeff led us in prayer and you prayed along with him this morning, that you have the evidence that those prayers will be answered, that God is able and has the power and that He will answer them because He sees us as righteous as He does Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And so it all fits together here. Now I'm going to go back to, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. the 11th verse of that 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians. And such were some of you, talked about all this, the bad things, bad people and all above there. You can see that right there above the 11th verse on my page here. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So the Trinity is here, but you're sanctified, washed, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit. You're justified, sanctified, washed by the Spirit. That's that anointing. We're covered, and then our sin is covered, and not only that, but it's put away, it's gone, and yet I'm still plagued with it. My soul is still sin sick. And yet, that's a good thing. That's a good thing that I'm sick of. But even looking outwardly, and this is what I like to look at. I don't want to get off in anything, but you see someone standing, or more than one person standing in front of a police officer, protecting them from other people. Those people have a love of God within them. They're watching out for this one who is being attacked unfairly and severely. And so even in these things, you can see God out there because God's everywhere. And I'm thankful for that because that gives me strength. And yet He's not shocked or surprised at anything. God knows all this was going to happen. And yet His purpose stands sure and firm, and His church does. And your righteousness, your sanctification, that's set. It's there. The song that we sang, the rock that is higher than I, that was selected, that's our fortress, our defense today at any time. Even when we think we're safe in our own home, within our own family and all, it's still our rock and fortress and defense because Satan is attacking there as well. But we have the strength of God Almighty that we call upon to protect us and watch over us and to give us the peace which passeth all understanding, even in these times. As I keep seeing all over the place, people quoting come quickly, Lord Jesus. But yet here, even this morning, I was lifted up in the song service. No one can ever, and this has been since I was a small child, I knew that the song service was a part of the worship service because we're lifted up, we're edified in that, and we're singing words that are scriptural and that are effective on our soul and spirit, upon that righteousness, that sanctified, pure, cleansed soul within us, and we're lifted up. And it's from the very first song, and yet other times our sinfulness drags us down, and so it's hard. Some Sundays I think, what is anyone getting out of this? I'm so dry and dry as dust, and I'm not getting anything out of something. This has been times past, and I tell you what, I'm thankful that has not been the case. That's what I deserve every Sunday. Every time I go to the house of God, I deserve God to withdraw Himself from me for what I do to Him. But when I stray from Him and go against His laws, but He has an infinite amount of mercy upon us, and even upon me. It's personal to me, and I see that, and I know it's infinite, but then when I see His grace, I don't deserve to have a subject, a text, a sermon being given to me that I might preach upon. I don't deserve that. Sometimes I think, but the people I'm preaching to, they do, and so God will give me something to speak to these sweet people, because they need to be edified, and they will be. But we're all in the same boat. We're all sinful creatures that need the mercy of God, and He grants it to us. And then He grants us grace. That's where He blesses us in spite of ourselves. But it's because of the righteousness, the anointing, the sanctification, holiness, the sainthood. We're saints right now. Been made holy here. You're washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Now back to 1 Peter, the second chapter, and let me close this out. First Peter, chapter 2. The ninth verse. Let me just go right there. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He's talking to us here. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So you are these things. You are right now, you are a priest, you are a king, you are a saint, you are holy, you are righteous. You already are being those things. You're sanctified, justified, declared righteous, being those things. And then he continues in that ninth verse, then at the end, like I read, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we've been clothed with the garment of salvation. We have this robe of righteousness upon us. We're sanctified. We're separated, set apart, and cleansed by the blood of Christ, by the Spirit of God. Sometimes I think, sometimes I actually thought back, can I remember a time, go all the way back to feel like I can remember the experience of being born again, and I can. It could be that before I was born naturally, in my mother's womb, that I was born again there. That could be. In that, I should be thankful that by the time I was born naturally, I was already sanctified, that I did not have to go through part of my life, my natural life, not being born again, but being a chosen child of God. I know the feelings. It seems so arrogant to me to say, well, I know I'm a child of God. I'm going to be in heaven and all. But you know what I mean by that, that I know that Jesus died for my sins. It's not of me. But the evidence that I have within me, I know that I will. I'll be there. I may forget that. But in my mind, my I guess more of a superficial level, in my heart, I'll never forget it. It's there. That truth is there. You'll never forget it. We've seen witness of that, that they remember when they can still, men that don't know who their children are, then quote scripture, and they know what they're talking about. But we're sanctified eternally by Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit. It's instantaneous. It happened once. It's done. And now you've been made holy and righteous. And then we have to decide, what are we going to do with that? Those that do righteousness are righteous. They have, and we can go to 1 John chapter 5 and see those that love God are born of Him. So thankful that God has given us this opportunity to do these things, and yet I know we'll still make mistakes, but we have people that understand that are sympathetic and compassionate toward that. I am, I believe it's behooves us to serve Jesus Christ, to treat others as we would treat Him. How would I treat Jesus if He walked in here right now? That's how I need to be treating those around me, the children of God, because you're saints of God. You are the saints of God Almighty. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church for membership. If you have a desire to join.